Well, good afternoon and Merry Christmas. You didn't know what to say back. Do you say good afternoon or Merry Christmas? We got mostly Merry Christmas. That's good. I want to start off by taking just a quick poll. Given that in the snow outside, you can still see a large amount of the grass. So I'm curious, does this qualify as a white Christmas? Yes. Raise your hand if it does. Wow, overwhelming. Raise your hand if it doesn't. Okay, just a couple. Is that like a glass half full, glass half empty kind of thing? I don't really know. Either way, I know some folks love the snow and some folks don't, but it certainly does make Christmassy feel a lot more like Christmas, I think, in my opinion. Wouldn't you say? Well, we have a question. Yes, question. She asked if I would tell about the birth of Jesus. I would love to do that. Yeah, let's do that. So if you have a Bible, turn it into Matthew chapter 1, and we'll actually go to a section called, incidentally, the birth of Jesus Christ. If you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles in the seats underneath you and in the windows on either side. We'd love for you to turn the Bible there to the first book of the New Testament. If you don't own a Bible, please take one of the Bibles home with you as a gift of ours to you. We'll start in chapter 1, verse 18, and we will read about the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 18 reads as follows. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So Mary and Joseph were betrothed, and that wouldn't be how we would understand an engagement today. If you were engaged here in the West, in the United States of America, if you break off the engagement, that's pretty much it. There might be a returning of the ring or a canceling of the wedding venue, but it's a much more involved process in the ancient Near Eastern Jewish culture. As a matter of fact, if you were betrothed in this way, you were very much already considered married, which is why Joseph is referred to as her husband. And yet, as part of the marriage process, they had not yet come together as husband and wife and consummated the marriage in that way. Having said that, still, for him to divorce her, it would have been just that, divorce rather than breaking off an engagement. So you could imagine, they haven't consummated the marriage yet, but Mary is found to be with child. Most scholars say she was probably 4 months or so pregnant, and Joseph, knowing the baby isn't his, would certainly be quite perplexed by that and probably more than a little bit sad. He didn't understand it, so he resolved to divorce her quietly, and that is when an angel of God appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, because the baby inside her is not from another man, but from the Holy Spirit. So this story is amazing, as Mitchell said, because it tells us that Jesus had a human mother, but not a human father. His father was God himself. Jesus was fully God and fully man. It's an incredible story that we gather to celebrate each Christmas, the birth of Jesus who came into the world through a miracle of God. Oh, looks like we have another question. Yeah. Well, what if what? She asked if it wasn't true. Well, what if what isn't true? If this story isn't true? Wow, that's a very good and honest question. She's saying, you're talking about some pretty miraculous stuff with angels coming and appearing to people in dreams and a baby being born by God. Well, thank you for asking that question. It's a question I think a lot of people ask. I would say this. If this isn't true, then everything that we're doing is just kind of a fable. It's not really that meaningful. We're just kind of gathering together to tell stories that don't really matter. And as a matter of fact, not to be harsh about it, but if Jesus wasn't fully God in the flesh, we could probably just close up church and be done. I mean, the religion doesn't have any substance anymore. Our very religion depends upon the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ being fully God and fully man. Why did it happen? Why did Jesus come? Man, you kids are setting me up great tonight. Thank you for asking that question. Let's look at verse 21, shall we? Just rolling right along here. Verse 21 reads as follows. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For, and here's the big point, he will save his people from their sins. The angel tells Joseph that the baby in Mary is a boy and that when the boy is born, he should be named Jesus. The name Jesus comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. That is why the angel goes on to say that Jesus will save his people from their sins. Now, I know what many of you might be asking and probably some more kids, so let me just answer your next question for you. Why do we even need saving from our sins? Well, here's the issue with that. We should start with sin. Sin refers to the fact that we offend God, the God who made us, by breaking his good and perfect and moral laws. It's when we do things that are morally wrong, like when we hit our brother or sister, or we steal something, or we cheat, or we lie, or fill in the blank. When we do these kinds of things, it's demonstrating that we are sinners, that we know these things are wrong and yet do them anyway. And God's law tells us not only the right way to live, but he tells us the most joyful and the most happy way to live. God's laws for us are freeing. They're good for us. And yet the greatest lie ever told, and the lie that's still told today, a lie that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, is that the sinful stuff is the good stuff. Satan has always been flipping it around, like to actually follow God's ways would lead to some kind of bondage or boredom or misery of life, and that doing the sinful things are the fun things. And it is true that some sinful things feel good in the moment, but the end of that is always worse. And as we progress through a lifestyle of sinning, we actually find ourselves more and more enslaved to sin. So one way that Jesus came to save us from our sins is to save us from the slavery of sin, but he also came to save us from the penalty of sin. Now, so you kids are asking questions. You can understand if you do something wrong in class, you get in trouble, there might be some kind of a consequence. You get a detention, maybe something like that. Or when adults do something that is against the laws of the country, they do a criminal act, they get in trouble, and they might go to jail or pay a fine. And we say these things are good things, that there are things that keep justice in order, and justice is good. But breaking God's laws is infinitely more severe than breaking the laws of man. And breaking God's laws and being separated from God because of breaking these laws requires the consequence of death that came into the world through sin and ultimately even death in hell. Jesus came to save us from that and to make us his own children. That is the reason that he came into the world. Another question. Yes, young lady. Okay, that's an interesting thought. What she just said was she understands she has a boy in her class that is always getting in trouble with the teacher, so he's clearly a sinner, is what she said. But not her, not so much, because she recognizes that if you go to church and you do enough good things, then maybe you could qualify and that Jesus would want to save you. And young lady, that is exactly how a lot of people understand religion. That if we do enough good things, if we can kind of be good enough, then we would qualify and that Jesus would want us and that he would come and save us. But that's not exactly the way the gospel, actually it's not at all the way the gospel is. You know, see, Jesus being God in the flesh means he was like us, he was human, but he was also unlike us. He didn't have a sin nature. He didn't have that part of him that was born to rebel from the very beginning. So for that reason, he never sinned, never a single time, and he did not deserve to die because of his sin like other human beings. But you probably know that he did die. He died on a cross. And why would he do that? Why would the only innocent man ever be killed on a cross? Well, I tell you, it's more than just to set an example for us or because he died in something he believed in. He died so that he could take on the punishment of our sins. He was innocent, we were guilty. He lived perfectly for us and then died for us so that those of us who live guilty could receive his innocence as a gift through grace. That is the good news of Christmas. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me kind of share it to you this way, if I could use this illustration. When I was just a couple years younger than you were, Lily, I was about 12 or 13 years old, and I think I told you guys this story once. It was really cold. It was wintertime. It got really cold, just like it has been in the last couple days, and a friend of mine in the neighborhood had a pond. It had frozen over, and so I went over to his house, and he dared me. You might say he double-dog dared me. You might say he tempted me to go out onto the lake. And not being one to want to let anybody down, I went out on this frozen pond. It was really more of a pond. It was probably about the size of this room, maybe twice this big, actually. And I went out, and I was kind of, you know, skating around in my tennis shoes, and it was a lot of fun until I went over this thinner part of the pond, and the ice underneath me broke, and I fell through. And so as I'm like falling into this pond, I fall down, and I put my hands out, and I catch myself, right? And I'm terrified, and I'm trying to get back to shore, and so I get back. Can you say shore for the pond? I don't think ponds have shores. I'm just trying to get back to land, right? So I'm trying to get back to land, and I was trying to pull myself up off of the ice, and then I would do that, and then the next piece would break. And I would swim forward a little bit more and get out of the ice, and another more would break. And I did this process of just trying to get out just to have the ice break under me until, by God's grace, I made it to the grass. I was able to get out of the pond, and then his mommy called my mommy, and my mommy came in her van, picked me up, took me home, and put me in a warm bath, and I was safe, and I was healthy, and I wasn't hurt. But you all know how dangerous that can be. You might say in that story that I was what brought me from being in a very cold, dangerous place, leading to death if something didn't happen, to a nice, warm house with loving family was my effort. I kind of kept my head above water. I did my job. I got to grass. And then having done that, my mom came and saved me and took me the rest of the way. And that kind of illustrates how I think a lot of people, again, feel about religion, feel about Christianity, or why they think they might go to heaven when they die. They kind of say to themselves, I understand that God is holy. I believe that heaven and hell exist, but I got to do my part. I got to keep my head above water. I got to keep treading water. Got to keep moving forward. And if I do enough good works, put enough effort in, I can make it to the end there, to a place where Jesus can come and save me. So I have to be good, and that Jesus will come and take care of the rest. And that's not at all the gospel. In fact, look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It reads as follows: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And just like how a gift doesn't work where you pay for part of it or you pay the person back, if you pay for part of it, if you earn part of it by being good or religious enough, well, then it goes from not being a gift but to being part of your wages. And that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot justify ourselves to go to heaven. We add nothing to it. It is a gift that God gives to us by his grace. We can't pay God or do enough to earn our salvation. That is the good news of Christmas. That's why we're here, because salvation is a gift. Yes, young man. Oh, man. Well, he was just saying that he was the classmate that this young lady kind of threw under the bus not long ago. And not to any provocation by my planning at all here, I can assure you. And what he said was, I'd like to think that God would want to give me his gift, but I imagine he doesn't, because I'm the kid that always gets in trouble with school. I'm the mess up. I'm the kid that's always breaking the rules. And I got to tell you, Josh, I know exactly how you feel. Very often I feel very unworthy of any gift of God or his grace to us. And I would imagine there's a lot of adults here who hear something about the grace of God coming to them as a gift and might be thinking, depending on how they've lived their own lives or perhaps things that they might be ashamed of. They might think to themselves, that sounds good, but God wouldn't want me. I'm sure that God would not want a sinner like me. And the Bible emphatically tells us that, yes, God wants a sinner exactly like you. Romans 5:8, another scripture from the same book I just referenced. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We would never want anybody to hear the gospel message and think, that sounds great. Let me clean myself up a little bit and then make myself presentable enough that God might want to save me. We'll never, ever, ever get there. Christ calls us through the gospel message that we're talking about on Christmas Eve to himself right now. No matter how far we've gone or what we've done, Christ stands ready to forgive. If I were to go back to that lake illustration or a pond or whatnot, the true situation of our sin is that we are in a lake drowning, but we are way too far away from any kind of a shore to save ourselves. That's why God had to come to us, Jesus coming to us in the incarnation through the virgin birth. And then the beauty of it is, you might say that Jesus drowned for us that we might not drown. Jesus died for you, Joshua, that you might not die. And for all of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's the truth of the gospel. Now notice that our verse reads that Jesus came to save his people from their sins, which means that there are people that are not his and people who are his, and really the people who are his are simply those who have believed the gospel, who have come to recognize that we were made for God. Like, he's creator, we're creatures. We were made for him, to know him, to love him, to worship him, to enjoy him, and yet because of our sin, we go the other way. He came chasing after us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We then become his people by recognizing our need for a savior and asking God to forgive us of our sins and to become our heavenly father. And the scriptures teach that if we do repent and believe, if we do recognize our need for a savior and pray to God from our heart saying, God, I'm a sinner, I need a savior, I believe that Jesus came into the world to save me, please forgive me for my sins and be the king of my life. When we pray that from our hearts, talking to God, the scriptures assure us that he will hear that prayer, he will forgive us, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he will make us his own son or daughter. And my great prayer for us this Christmas Eve is that there would not be a single person watching online or gathered here this afternoon who has never received this great gift. The greatest gift we could ever receive is the gift of salvation. And I pray that today, if you've not received that gift, that today would be the day of your salvation, that you would pray to God and ask him to forgive you and to make you his child. And he will honor that prayer when it's from your heart. If you've never done that, I hope you will receive the best gift ever this Christmas Eve. Looks like we have one last question. Yes, Lily again. Leave Josh alone this time, will you, Lily?
That sounds great, but help me understand. If it is all a gift, then why do we do good things like try not to sin?
Good question. You guys asked the greatest question. She said, that sounds good, but then help me understand. If it's all grace, then why do we do good things? Why don't we sin? Why do we go to church? What's the point? And here's the answer. It's in one word, and that word is love. It's all about love. The Christian faith at its core is all about love. Three scriptures as we close. Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what motivated, was part of Christ dying for us, along with his own glory, was that he loves sinners. He loves you. And that took him to the cross for you and for me. In response, 1 John 4:9, we love because he first loved us, which means when we understand this amazing grace that we have from God, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, it fills us with a love for him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then again from 1 John, this time chapter 5, verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So this is so important for us to hear. Even Christian, listen, if you would say, yes, I came here as a believer, remember, the reason that we do what we do is not to earn our salvation or to pay God back or to make sure we keep God pleased with us. He's already pleased with you through his son. That's amazing news. We do what we do because we want to glorify God, because we love him, because he loves us and we love him. So we aim to please him out of love for him. We come together to worship him because we love him. We go to church every Sunday because we want to gather with other people who love him also, that we can grow together and celebrate this love as a family and journey through this life one with another, with our joys and with our sorrows as well. And as we close our time right now, before we start to sing a few more songs, I would just remind us of this. Jesus didn't come only to save his people from their own sins, and that's really good news. But he also came to save us from the sufferings and the sins that we find in this world all around us. And I know that there are many gathered here this evening who are joyful and yet are also simultaneously sorrowful. I know that nobody here is just 100% joy, that we all have our own pains. I know that there's some gathered tonight who does not have a family member with you that you wish was here. And I was thinking about a sibling of some church members of ours who went home to be with the Lord at a young age just yesterday. And Christmas will forever be associated with this family with the passing of this young mother of three children. And that is just grievous and so difficult and so challenging. And we want to continue to pray for this family as they're in great sorrow. And we know that God is near to the brokenhearted. And yet at the same time, we're so thankful that not very long ago, they had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, both this husband and wife and this woman who's now with the Lord. So we can be sorrowful for this passing and for this family, yet we can rejoice because we know that our greatest enemy, death, has been defeated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will see her again in glory, and she is free from her suffering. So even as we have various sufferings tonight, broken relationships of some kind, or the disappointment of a dream yet to be fulfilled, maybe you feel lonely in a crowded house, or maybe you have regrets from poor decisions from the past. Maybe you battle depression or anxiety or some other kind of difficulty of the mind, or maybe there is a scary health diagnosis, whatever it may be. I would encourage you this evening to really meditate on the goodness and the glory of Jesus Christ, who is coming back for his people, and he's going to take us to be where he is with him, where there will be no more sin, no more pain, no more death. He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and we will be with him always and forever, because Jesus Christ came into the world as a baby to save sinners like you and me. Amen. Let me pray for us tonight.